Well, I would like you to turn with me to the passage that I'd like to read for the message this morning. It's found in Psalms 107. Psalms 107. And I'd like to preach a message that I think every mother would associate with. But I'm not a mother, I'm a father, and I can tell you I associate with this message, and I trust that all of us will. Psalms 107, pardon me. We're going to read starting at verse 23. And what I want to preach about this morning is simply the text, the title, He Calms the Storm. And if anybody knows what it is to go through storms, it's mothers. It's women in general. And very frankly, it's anybody who follows the Lord knows what it is to go through a storm, not physically, but spiritually speaking. But not just Christians, but every human being at one time or another will probably go through what we would call a storm. Something that is unusual, that comes sometimes suddenly. It blindsides us sometimes. Sometimes we can see the clouds gathering, but it is at the end of the day a storm. And throughout the scriptures, you'll find this subject of the storm mentioned in a number of different places. And again, sometimes it's literally a storm. In a moment, we'll read Matthew chapter 8, and that is literally a storm that the disciples were going through when Jesus was in the boat with them. But oftentimes, the idea of a storm is when some event happens that we're not expecting or we see coming, and we've got to brace ourselves. And similar to a natural storm, we've got to ride it out. And I think it's interesting in Psalms 107, which in some of your margins, you'll note that this is the beginning of book 5. The book of Psalms is really divided into 5 books. And the final one is from a Psalms 107 to the last Psalm. And it's called book 5. So it's the beginning of what we call book 5 of the book of Psalms. In verse 23, it is a very descriptive of what it is to go through a storm if you're a mariner or if you're a sailor. Verse 23, Psalms 107, those who go down to the sea in ships, who do business on great waters, they see the works of the Lord and his wonders in the deep. There's no question that those in this day and even in our day that work on large ships, they go down to the sea and that's their business. They see the wonders of the Lord. You can't go to the ocean. You can't go to the great waters and not see the wonders of the Lord. It's pretty incredible, isn't it? How many like going to the beach? How many would rather be there right now than here? It's wonderful to go. But this is talking about those who don't go down to the sea in ships. Those perhaps are in the Navy or the Coast Guard or the merchant marines, or whatever the case may be, or just those that work on great ships. Verse 25, he commands and raises the stormy wind, which lifts up the waves of the sea. They mount up to the heavens. They go down again to the depths. Their soul melts because of trouble. This is talking about a storm that comes up. It's talking about those mariners who are doing their best to save the ship during a great storm on the sea. If you've ever watched the movie The Perfect Storm, we understand what, you know, this idea, the Andrea Gale out of Gloucester, New England, and what they went through. Verse 26, they mount up to the heavens, they go down again to the depths, their soul melts because of trouble. They reel to and fro and stagger like a drunken man and are at their wit's end. That phrase at their wit's end in your margin probably says all their wisdom is gone. They've done everything they can think of to make it through the storm. They've put all their efforts, all their knowledge, everything that they've been trained to do, they've put to the effort of saving the ship during this great storm that's happening, but they reach their wit's end. Verse 28. Then they cry out to the Lord in their trouble, and he brings them out of their distresses. It reminds us of Jonah's story, the book of Jonah, and how the waves got so large and the ship was about to be destroyed. And they did everything they could. Those mariners did everything they could. And then finally they said, every man on this ship, cry out to the God that you pray to see if he will have mercy on us. And then they did that, and the storm continued, and then they cast lots, and it fell on Jonah, and they realized he was the character that was responsible for the storm. He jumped, or they threw him overboard, and the storm stopped. Verse 29 is our text. He calms the storm so that its waves are still. How many of you know that God calms the storm? How many of you have had a storm that God has calmed for you? Amen? He calms the storm so that its waves are still. Verse 30, then they are glad because they are quiet. The waves are quieted down. So he guides them to their desired haven. And the mariners then are happy because the storm has subsided and they have survived. Verse 31, oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. Let them exalt him also in the assembly of the people and praise him in the company of the elders. There is something to give God praise for when he brings us through the storm. When he brings us through those unexpected times when life isn't what we had planned, when we have to deal with something that is very, very difficult, he calms the storm. He calms the storm. And sometimes storms can have waves that seem like they're going to just sink our boat. They're just going to put us to destruction. And yet we call out on the Lord and he helps us through those storms. Little did we know when our precious little girl was born on Mother's Day that we would go through some storms with her and her life. But God calmed the storms and calmed the waves and calmed us, and God brought us through. Praise God. Amen. And every one of you, yeah, amen. Every one of you can say the same in something in your life or your home or your business or your marriage. When things were in an upheaval, you called on the Lord. And maybe that's how you found the Lord. Maybe you weren't following Christ and you went through a storm situation and you realized that it was only God who could save that marriage. It was only God who could save that relationship. I remember a couple in Coos Bay, Oregon, when we were teenagers there. Their marriage was on the rocks. They'd never gone to church. And finally, they walked past the little church where Cheryl and I were serving at the time as associate pastors. And they looked inside, and Pastor Hughes was there. And they said, we've tried everything else, Pastor. We've tried everything else. We're about ready to go sign the divorce papers. But when we passed by the church, we felt like maybe we should try God. And Pastor Hughes led them to the Lord, gave them counseling, and they ended up being Sunday school superintendents and instrumental in the growth of that church because God calmed the storms. Amen? God can do that. God can do that. And that David says, oh, that men would just give God thanks for the storms that he calms. I'd like you to turn back a few pages now to Psalms 89, please. Psalms 89. Psalms 89. I'd spend more time in Psalms 107, but every time I read it, I get seasick, and so I don't want to do that. I don't want to embarrass myself this morning. I'm not a boat guy, as you know. Canoes are great. Little boats, rafts, but boy, don't put me on the ocean. Psalms 89, verses 8 and 9. Psalms 89, excuse me, is a compilation of thoughts by one that's called Ethan the Ezrahite. And if you study out Ethan the Ezrahite in the book of 1 Kings, you discover it describes Solomon and his great wisdom. And it says of Solomon that he was the wisest man in the world. And then it says he was even wiser than Ethan the Ezrahite. So I take from that passage in 1 Kings that Ethan the Ezrahite was a pretty wise man. He has simply said that Solomon was wiser than him, but it might be stated that Ethan the Ezrahite was at that, before Solomon, was maybe the wisest man anybody knew about. So here's a great man of wisdom and his compilation of the things that the Lord has done. And it's wonderful to read this whole psalm. We won't take time to do it today. But sufficient would be verses 8 and 9 of Psalms 89, written by Ethan the Ezrahite, when he says, O Lord God of hosts, who is mighty like you, O Lord? Who is mighty like you? Your faithfulness also surrounds you. You rule the raging of the sea. When its waves rise, you still them. Praise God. A wise, wise man says, and recognize that God is mighty. How many know God is mighty today? Amen. He's a mighty God we serve, a mighty God that can do exploits and great, great things for us. His faithfulness, Ethan says, his faithfulness surrounds you. Your faithfulness surrounds you. When you see God, it's all about faithfulness. You see how faithful God is. He's faithful every day to us. He's faithful to help us in every situation. And then this very wise man says, verse 9, you rule the raging of the sea, and when its waves rise, you still them. And I would like to think that that is true with our lives, that when the waves of life, when the storms hit us, that we serve a mighty God and a faithful God who is able to speak to the waters and say, be still, calm yourself, and that storm has to obey. Amen. It's inevitable, I think, that we go through storms, because that's what really life is about. And some may go through little storms, and others may have bigger storms, but it doesn't matter really where you live in the world, you will, in the natural world, you'll experience some kind of storm. You live in the desert, and you know, where we've all heard about a dust storm, right? A dust storm that happens. Many of those happened in the Midwest during the days when the Dust Bowl, we call them the Dust Bowl days. You say, well, I'll move out to California. And as many of my relatives did, they had no choice. That's where the work was. That was where the fruit picking was. So we moved to California because they don't have storms out there. But let me assure you, California has storms. Amen? If they're not physical, they're political. But they have storms. They have storms. I know I've been through a few in California, and they can be outrageous. I mean, in Los Angeles, you can have a storm, and it puts down half an inch of rain, and you'd think people would start building arcs. How many from back down there know what I'm talking about, right? Just a little bit of rain will do a lot. You say, well, we'll move to the Northwest, because folks in the Northwest, they don't have storms up there. Hello? Can you say Columbus Day storm? How many remember that, right? No matter where you live. As a matter of fact, the worst weather on earth, if you've watched the Weather Channel, you know this. The worst weather on earth isn't in the Northwest. It's not in the desert. It's not in California. It's on Mount Washington in the state of New York. The worst weather in the world, the wind and the cold, and it's horrible. I've never been there. I can only tell you what I've heard. Everywhere you go, there will be storms. And if you're going to be a human being, you're going to go through storms. You're going to go through. If you're young or old, you're going to go through storms. So the secret is not necessarily to pray, Lord, keep me out of the storm. But the secret, I think, is to say, Lord, you are the ruler of the storm. You're the ruler of the wind and the waves. You can help me through the storm. Amen. Turn to Matthew chapter 8, if you would, please. Matthew chapter 8. Matthew chapter 8, starting at verse 23. Matthew chapter 8, verse 23. Now when Jesus got into a boat, his disciples followed him. And suddenly a great tempest arose on the Sea of Galilee, so that the boat was covered with the waves. But he was asleep, no doubt because he was tired. Jesus had a physical body. He was God, but he was man. He grew tired at times. He was asleep in the boat. Then his disciples came to him and awoke him and saying, Lord, save us. We're perishing. We're going to go down. This little boat's just rocking back and forth. The waves are bigger than the boat. We're having to bail water. Lord, help us. We are perishing. But he said to them, why are you fearful, O you of little faith? Now, I have a thought on that. It almost seems like Jesus is reprimanding the disciples because of the storm. I don't know that he's doing that. He may, but I think he's delving deeper into the disciples' attitude toward disaster and the call of God. See, Jesus has told them they have a mission, and they're going to make it through the mission. They're going to make it. And here they are, they come across a storm in the midst of the sea, which they've gone through before, and yet this time they feel like they're going to perish. And yet Jesus has told them time and again, you're on a mission for me. And I think the meaning of this is that if we know that we're on a mission from God, if we know that we are walking with the Lord, let the storm rage as high as it wants to, God's going to get us through to accomplish what he's going to get us through to accomplish. Amen? And the storm isn't going to be in the way. Verse 26, the second part. Then he arose and he rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm. So the men marveled, saying, who can this be that even the winds and the sea obey him? It's almost as if they hadn't even heard anything Jesus had said up until that point. What sort of man is this that even the winds and the sea obey him? Well, the answer to that is very simple. Jesus was the Son of God. He was the Savior. He was Jesus. That's why the winds and the sea obeyed him. Because it was Jesus who was present in the book of Genesis when God said, let there be light, and there was light. Let there be land, and there was land. And the firmament separated, and the waters. It was Jesus who helped create the sea in the first place. And so, as its creator, it had to obey him. Hallelujah. And I want to tell you this. Whatever storm you might be going through, or might have to go through in the future, Jesus, the Creator, can speak to that storm and say, be calm as well. When he knows the time is right. Now, sometimes the Lord will have us ride out the storm. And I think it's important what kind of boat we have. And I think if I can use the analogy of our boat, it's said that, what was it said of Noah? Noah had no idea how to build an ark. The Titanic had the experts build it. Hello? Which one made it to the destination? The one that God built. Amen? If we're building our life on the anticipation that it'll be like a Titanic, it's the unsinkable ship, get ready for the iceberg because it's coming. But if we build our life like an ark, according to God's instructions, nothing will take it down. It'll reach its destination. Praise God. Amen? Because he calms the storm. One more verse, and then I want you to see a picture on the screen. John chapter 10. John chapter 10, verse 7. And I just want to borrow four words from this verse. John 10:7. Jesus said, I am the door. I am the door. In La Jumette, France, there is a lighthouse just off what they call the end of the world. It's a piece of land at the edge of France where the Atlantic Ocean has sunk so many ships. And it's literally called in French the end of the world. Jean Jacquard took a helicopter one day and he wanted to take some pictures of these massive waves that this area is famous for as they hit on these massive lighthouses. Little did he realize that he would capture what has become one of the most iconic pictures of waves hitting a lighthouse. It was a major, major Atlantic storm. The lighthouse keeper had radioed for help because the waves had become so ferocious that they had broken through the windows up the upper story and the lighthouse was flooding from the inside. As the helicopter was bringing the photographer to photograph these waves, he saw a man standing outside on this lighthouse with this massive wave about to embrace it. And he just began to snap pictures. Okay, would you put that first slide up for me? Maybe you can't see it real well, but you can find this in a lot of bookstores. You can find these pictures. In the first one, you see the wave starting. In the second one, to my right, your left, you can see the wave surrounding. And then the third one is that wave completely embraces this. Now, what you don't see in this picture from your distance is what you'll see in the next picture. Can you give us that picture? That's the same lighthouse, the same wave, but if you'll notice right in the middle is a man standing there. That's the light keeper. That's his job, is to keep the light. The backstory of this photo that's become world famous is that this light keeper had just called for help. And when he heard the whirling of the helicopter, he thought it was his rescue. So he steps outside to check. But it wasn't his rescue, it was the photographer. Click, 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 taking these pictures. This wave, as you saw in the first pictures, if you go back to the first pictures for me, in the bottom picture, this wave is about to completely surround this man. And many people have often said, what happened to the man? He must have died. But the backstory is this. This lightkeeper, just before that wave encircled him, he simply opened the door, stepped in, and closed the door. The door saved his life. Jesus said, I am the door. This man's life was saved because he simply went through the door in the midst of the storm. I want to tell you this morning, the way you survive the storm is to open the door and get inside and ride it out. Several years later, the photographer would visit the lightkeeper, actually go to his home and bring him a large picture of this and signed it and presented it to him as a gift because this lightkeeper had made no money off this at all. He wanted him to have it. And when I read the backstory of this, I thought, boy, that is a perfect example of what it is to trust Jesus in the storm. It might look like you're surrounded, and it might appear that you've perished, but this man simply opened the door, went inside and closed the door, and he was spared. And he's alive today because of the door. And so for you that are going through storms, for you that have gone through one, or you that may go through one in the days ahead, the answer is to go through the door. And the door is Jesus Christ. And trust Him in the biggest of waves. Amen? In the biggest of waves. Let's stand together this morning, please. Whatever your door holds today, or I'm sorry, whatever your plan holds today, I hope you will be honoring the ladies in your life in some measure. Even if it's just going home and sitting on the deck. Even if it's going home and she putting you to work in the yard. I hope you'll take a moment and let that woman in your life know how important she is to you and how precious she is. And even if you had words coming to church, and I know nothing, I didn't get any calls, I didn't get any emails, I didn't get any texts. Would you please preach about this because my husband's a jerk? No, I don't get those. But even if you had words on your way to church, take a moment, men, and tell that person, that lady in your life, how much you appreciate her and that you love her. This is a special day. But what I want us to do now is to have a prayer together. And that prayer is going to be based on the sense of going through the door to make it through the storm. Let Jesus help you through the storm, whatever the storm is going, whatever storm's happening in your life. And maybe it won't apply to everybody, but it will at some point. So let me pray for you this morning. Could I do that? Father, in Jesus' name, I thank you for everyone that's here today. Lord, I pray that you would minister something to them through the scriptures that were read. You are the faithful, mighty God who calms the storm. You are the door where we find safety. In Revelation 3 and 20, it says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock." You want to come into the door of our life so that we can enter into the door of who you are and make it through the storms. If there's anybody here today that's going through a storm, and it appears that the waves are going to engulf them as this lighthouse picture, help them to simply go inside, go into the door, because Jesus is the lighthouse, and he'll stand true, and they'll be saved, and they'll be spared. Help, Lord, marriages, help relationships, help us each one, men and women alike, to go into the door, to come to Jesus and say, keep us from the storm, Lord. Help us through the storm. And the waves will calm down and they'll peek outside and the sun will be shining again. That is the hope we can have that we sang about this morning. The storm won't stop that. The waves won't stop that. We can make it through the storms because we know who the door is. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' wonderful name, amen. Would you applaud the goodness of the Lord today? Amen. 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 Thanks for coming to church on Mother's Day. God bless you. You are dismissed. Have a wonderful afternoon. And if not before, we'll see you next Sunday in the house of the Lord. Ladies, don't forget your carnation on your way out. Be sure and grab one.